Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron will not be with us today.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Today's episode is about a topic that keeps showing up in research, in integrative medicine, and in emails from our listeners, the gut-brain connection. We're calling this one the gut-brain revolution, why one system can't be treated alone. We'll talk about how your digestive system and your brain are constantly talking to each other, why that matters for conditions like anxiety, depression, IBS, autoimmune disease, and chronic pain, and why the vagus nerve is a key player in this story.
Let's start at the beginning. When people say gut-brain connection, what are they actually talking about?
They're talking about a two-way communication system between your digestive tract, your stomach and intestines, and your brain. Okay. It's not just about having a stomach ache when you're nervous. It's a real biological network that includes nerves, hormones, immune cells, and trillions of microbes living in your gut.
Your gut isn't just a tube. Wow, what an interesting analogy. Where food goes in and out. I hopefully it's not going out. Not something I want to think about.
All right.
Or the trillions of microbes. Don't want to think about that either. It has its own nervous system, sometimes called the enteric nervous system. Some people even call it the second brain. It can operate independently to coordinate digestion, but it also sends a constant stream of information to the actual brain.
And the brain sends signals back down, changing things like how fast the food moves through, how much acid you make. This is talking about stomach acid.
Mm-hmm.
And how sensitive your gut is to the pain or stretching.
A lot of people were confused because they thought it was like the movie Alien, that acid.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if either end of that system is under stress, the other end can show symptoms.
So you're the stomach or the brain. We can't talk about the gut-brain connection without also talking about the vagus nerve. So let's talk about what that is.
Should I tell everybody?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
The vagus nerve is one of the...
The vagus that is known for...
gambling?
Yeah, well, I was going to say.
It's not a city.
No.
It's just called the... And it's spelled V-A-G-U-S.
Okay, good clarification.
The vagus nerve is one of the main nerves of the parasympathetic nervous system, your rest and digest system. It runs from the brainstem down through the neck and the chest into the abdomen, branching out to organs like the heart, the lungs, and a big portion goes to the digestive tract.
So it's literally a physical highway between the brain and the gut.
I like that analogy. Is that an analogy?
Okay.
I like that explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And here's something that people don't always realize. A lot of the traffic on that highway mm-hmm. is going up from the gut to the brain, not just down from the brain to the gut.
Okay.
Signals about inflammation, nutrient status, mm-hmm. gut stretch, and microbial activity can all influence mood, stress responses, and even how we perceive pain.
When the vagus nerve is not working correctly,
That's okay.
It can calm the body down after stress, support digestion, and dampen excessive inflammation throughout the body. When the system is not working well, sometimes called like low vagal tone, people may be prone to things like chronic inflammation, poor stress recovery, and gut-related symptoms.
And that's the part of why things like deep breathing, meditation, singing, humming, gentle movement, and even cold exposure are being studied because they can stimulate the vagus nerve and help shift the body from fight and flight toward rest and digest.
Okay, well, let's talk about another big part of the gut-brain conversation, the microbiome. What is that?
The microbiome mm-hmm. is the community of mm-hmm. bacteria, viruses, fungi, and other microbes that live mainly in your large intestine. In a healthy state, they help digest food. They produce certain vitamins, interact with the immune system, and even make or modulate some of the same chemical messengers that we talk about in mental health, like serotonin and other neurotransmitters.
So these microbes aren't just passive passengers in your body. They're actively sending signals that and releasing chemicals that are chemical messengers that can affect your body's inflammation, your gut permeability, and possibly even your overall mood and behavior.
Right. And what is gut permeability? I forgot.
It's the ability for nutrients to be absorbed.
Oh, to go in and out? Okay. That doesn't mean that your depression is all in your gut or that probiotics alone will fix complex mental health issues. But it does mean that what's happening in your gut environment can influence how your brain and your nervous system function and vice versa.
Diet, medications such as antibiotics, long-term stress, sleep deprivation, physical activity, or good sleep, and certain illnesses can all change the composition of, or put strain on the gut microbiome in some people. And that shift can be linked to more gut symptoms or, distressing symptoms, inflammation, or even changes in your mood.
Who would have thunk it?
Well, I think you always feel better if you have a nutrient-rich diet, if you, reduce stress, if you get a good night's sleep, if you have some physical activity, and if you're not ill, you feel better.
Okay. Well, let's make this one more concrete. What are some of the
situations?
Situation. What are some situations where you see the gut and the brain both showing up in the same story?
Well, a classic example like IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, people often have abdominal pain, bloating, diarrhea, or constipation, and at the same time, higher rates of anxiety and possibly depression. And it's not that it's all in your head, but that the brain sensitivity to signals from the gut and the gut sensitivity to stress can help or can result in a loop, and that can be problematic.
Another area is chronic stress or trauma. Long-term stress can alter gut motility. That's how fast things go through your
gut. Yeah, the transit.
Right, transit time. It can also increase inflammation and it can change the microbiome. So chronic stress is not good to have. Mm-hmm. And that can lead to symptoms like cramps, diarrhea, constipation, nausea, or butterflies that never fully go away, like when you feel like you have butterflies in your stomach.
Mm-hmm. Not butterflies, just out in the garden.
It feels like it.
Okay. We also see this in certain autoimmune conditions, people who are living with chronic pain and even some neurological diseases. People might be dealing with, brain fog, mood changes, and GI symptoms at the same time because the immune system, the nervous system, and the gut are constantly interacting.
The big takeaway is if you only treat one end, like just the gut or just the brain, you may be missing half the picture. That's why more providers are starting to look at both sides when someone has overlapping digestive and mental health concerns.
So let's come back to the title, why one symptom can't be system can't be treated alone. What do we mean by that in practical terms?
Well, it means that if you have gut symptoms, but nobody ever asks about your stress, mood, trauma history, or nervous system health, you're not getting a full evaluation. Or if you have anxiety or depression, but nobody ever asks about your digestion, diet or medications that affect the gut, well, then that's also incomplete.
Okay, so for example, if someone is living with IBS and anxiety, they might benefit from dietary changes and medical treatments for the gut, stress reduction techniques, and possibly mental health therapy, and approaches that support the vagus nerve and relaxation response activities. And it's not either or, it's both and.
Okay. And the same is true for people with chronic illness. If you treat the physical symptoms, but you ignore the emotional load, you risk burnout, hopelessness, and worse outcomes. If you only treat mood symptoms, but you ignore pain, sleep, and digestion, you're still missing major triggers.
Right. So we're talking about integrated health and integrated health care, primary care specialists, mental health care providers, and sometimes nutrition and rehab professionals all communicating to assess a patient's overall condition and come up with a treatment plan where the patient is, or the individual is going to be playing an active role. And that would be ideal. We're not there yet, but that's the direction that gut-brain related issues is pushing us towards.
Okay. Well, let's bring in your shared background. Let's bring in my shared background.
Okay, how does your background relate to gut brain? I'm having issues this morning. The gut brain connection.
Well, recreational therapy fits in very well because it looks at how activity, play, leisure, and meaningful routines can affect physical and mental health. And for the gut-brain axis, that might mean helping people build daily habits that support both nervous system regulation and digestive health.
Okay.
For example, gentle movement like walking, yoga, tai chi, or adaptive exercise can help digestion and reduces stress.
Okay.
If you have time in nature, like Sylvia's a nature therapist?
Horticultural therapist.
Horticultural therapist, yeah. Mm-hmm. So time in nature, creative arts, music, and social connection can shift the nervous system out of the constant fight or flight. Structured routines around meals, sleep, and relaxation can calm the gut and the mind at the same time.
Okay. And that can also help people find realistic strategies. So if someone is exhausted and in pain, 60 minutes of intensive exercise might not be optimum for them. But maybe a 10-minute walk after meals, if that works for them, not everyone can do that. Or seated stretches, maybe combined with breathing, that might be a good goal to have. And that can help support the body's own regulatory systems, which includes that vagus nerve-driven rest and digest mode.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing for, like everybody's different.
Right.
And for me personally, being seated, doing anything seated after I eat does not make me happy.
Right.
So you got to pay attention to the
person. And you also have to be careful if you're living with a condition like POTS, where if your blood flow is centered around your digestive tract after eating, then walking could be an issue.
Yeah, you might pass right out.
Yep. But there's other options. You might want to do things that you enjoy that also bring relaxation into play, like gardening, crafts, adaptive sports, board games even, time with animals. These can all have a positive effect on the gut-brain axis indirectly through stress reduction. Okay. And let's take a moment and talk about general strategies to help people who want to support the vagus nerve and that rest and digest system, keeping in mind that this is not, going to work for everyone, but in everyone's an individual. So always seek the advice of your healthcare provider and mental health care provider and do what works for you.
Right. Well, some examples that people explore with their providers include slow, deep breathing, especially longer on the exhale, can help shift the body toward a calmer state. Gentle movement within your limits, like walking, stretching, or yoga. Singing or humming or chanting, which can stimulate areas around the throat and chest that are linked to the vagus nerve. Relaxation practices, such as meditation, prayer, guided imagery, or progressive muscle relaxation. Some people also discuss things like cold exposure or specific therapies with their clinicians, but those should be individualized.
And on the gut side, people may work with their healthcare team, nutritionists and such, to tailor a nutrition program for them that works best for their overall health and medical conditions. Manage things like acid reflux, constipation, or diarrhea. Review medications that might have an effect on the digestive system. And
well,
how
I never
to mitigate.
Thought about that. How do you find out about that?
How do you find out about what?
About medications that might affect the digestive system. Ask your doctor?
You could ask your doctor. You could go through your medications, look up the side effects.
Okay.
And then the next time you are having a conversation with your doctor, say, you know, I was thinking that this might be a concern because I do have digestive issues. Is there an alternative or is it better? You know, sometimes it's better to take medications with food or on an empty stomach. So you could talk with your healthcare provider and your pharmacist about that.
Okay.
And then maybe also talk to your healthcare provider if you need help because you're having, and your mental healthcare provider, with issues regarding sleep, and to tailor physical activity and help you maintain an active lifestyle. Okay. The key is that gut-focused strategies and nervous system-focused strategies can reinforce one another and help support overall wellness.
Okay. And it's important to remember that not every technique is going to be right for every person. If you have certain heart or lung issues, joint problems, or trauma histories, some approaches might need to be adjusted or avoided. That's why working with a professional who understands your whole picture is so important.
And for listeners who are thinking, okay, this sounds like me, I have both gut symptoms and mental health issues, what are some questions they can bring to their providers to help improve their overall lifestyle or life overall wellness?
Well, you could ask them, could my gut symptoms and my mood or anxiety be related? Or are there ways to address both my digestive health and my stress or nervous system at the same time? Or would it make sense to involve a mental health provider, a dietitian, or a rehab professional into my care?
And you might also mention, like, for example, I've noticed that my symptoms get worse when I'm stressed. Can we talk about that? Are there, you know, any breathing, relaxation, or activities that might support my nervous system and gut health? But always remember that advocating for yourself doesn't mean that you're telling your clinician how to do their job. It just means that you are providing them with adequate information so that they can tailor your healthcare to you and improve your overall gut, brain, gut, nervous system interactions.
Right. I mean, if you don't tell them, they won't know.
Right.
Yeah. Got to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel dismissed, it's okay to seek a second opinion or ask to see someone who has more experience with gut, brain, or mind-body conditions.
And let's review what we mean by the gut-brain revolution and the gut-brain connection.
Okay. We mean it's a shift from thinking of the body as separate parts. That's a stomach problem. That's a mental health problem. And instead, seeing it as one integrated system. It's a revolution in how we think, not just in the treatments themselves.
And I think maybe it also means that we're giving ourselves permission to say, you know, it's not just stress, it's not just my mood, but it's also gut symptoms, or it's not just my gut, it's also how my gut affects my mood and how my mood affects my gut. So it's all linked. You're not imagining that those two things are connected. That's how your body is made.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And we may not have all the answers yet. And when I say we,
you
I'm
mean,
not talking
you're
about
talking
me.
About them.
Yes, The medical profession may not have all the answers yet, and not every new buzzword or supplement will live up to the hype. But paying attention to the gut-brain axis, the vagus nerve, and the whole person picture is a powerful step toward care that actually matches how our bodies really work.
And we hope that this episode gives you, some insight into the, understanding of why the gut and the brain can't really be treated in isolation. And it's okay to ask your healthcare team to take both into consideration.
Right. If you recognized yourself in what we talked about today, consider bringing it up at your next appointment. You deserve care that takes your whole self into account, not just one organ at a time.
Thank you all for taking the time to join us today for this episode of Podcast DX, The Gut-Brain Revolution, Why One System Can't Be Treated Alone. Please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and always seek the advice of your healthcare provider or other qualified physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.